Welcome back. Well, now we're to our final module of our course on Office 365 development. So let's take a look at where we are in the lineup of courses. Yeah, as you can see on the slide, we've moved through several different modules, and Scott has given you his module talking about how to set up for the Office 365 environment. Now, some of you are still working with on-premises SharePoint farms. So the focus of this lecture is going to be how we're going to get set up so we can start doing SharePoint development and different other styles of Office development for SharePoint 2013 on-premises environments. Now, what we're going to look at here is setting up your on-premises environment for app development. Once again, same instructors, Ted Pattison and Scott Hillier. So let's go ahead and see what we're going to have inside the agenda. So I'm going to start with a overview of building a SharePoint 2013 farm and all the steps we have to go through. Now, to some degree, there's a lot of work that you have to do, so I'm going to have to give somewhat of an overview, but hand you some pretty good resources to build your base farm. The things that we're going to concentrate on here is configuring support for SharePoint apps and also configuring support for server-to-server trusts when you have a provider-hosted app and you need to get that app authentication working. And then also, we're going to end up talking about how to configure OAuth-style authentication so that we can use the same type of app authentication in our on-premises environments that's used up in the Office 365 environment. Okay, so we're going to get started by talking about creating a SharePoint virtual machine. Now, SharePoint has a long history of development where you have to build a local farm. You know, luckily, that's not the case in many instances, especially if you're working with Office 365. You don't have to install SharePoint locally because SharePoint in the cloud is all you need, and someone else has already done the work to set up your environment for you. However, if you're working on premises, you do need to have a local SharePoint farm for many scenarios. So what we're going to look at here is basically, at a high level, what are the requirements? Well, someone with a pretty good amount of knowledge or some type of a document to walk you through all the steps has to build a farm with SharePoint 2013. And we definitely encourage you to use the latest and greatest, which is going to, at this date, include at least Service Pack 1. Then we also want to have Visual Studio. Now, Visual Studio has major updates that come out. At this point, we have Update 3. If there are updates in the future after this, we encourage you to use the very last major update for Visual Studio. Also, you're going to need the Office Developer Tools for Visual Studio 2013 so that you can create SharePoint apps and apps for Office. Now, when we do development of SharePoint apps, one of the improvements or one of the enhancements to the SharePoint development environment is this idea of a developer site collection. And definitely we use them up in Office 365, but they can also be used in SharePoint on-premises farms. Now, the beauty of the developer site collection is you no longer have to have a local SharePoint farm. So what you're able to do is have a single SharePoint farm, and you can have developers with Visual Studio on their machines reaching across the network, installing apps into this SharePoint developer site collection. So the beauty of the developer site collection is that it allows for remote app development. You don't need to have a local SharePoint farm. Now, it turns out if you do have a local SharePoint farm, you can use a developer site collection or you can use a regular old team site. So when you're doing SharePoint on-premises, the real benefit of the developer site collection would be to have a single SharePoint farm and to have developers being able to reach across the network, install and test their apps there. So what we're going to do now is move over and do our first demo just to show you what a SharePoint developer site looks like and show you how easy it is to create one. So what I'll start doing is we'll go to the central administration, and inside of central administration in SharePoint Farm, there is a page that we can have to create a site collection. So if I want to create a developer site, I want to create my dev site. I'll give it a simple title. I'll give it some particular URL. So there's a target web application. On my virtual machine, I have Wingtip Server. And so I'll just call this my dev site as far as the URL goes. And down here, we'll stick with the 2013 user experience and we'll pick developer site. Now, just like any other site collection, when we create that site collection, we have to have a user who is going to be assigned as the site collection owner. And really, that's all the different steps that you have. We'll go ahead, we'll create the site collection. We'll give my local SharePoint farm a minute or two to go ahead and provision this new site collection. And once the site collection has been created, well, now I have a place that I can go to Visual Studio, point to a test site, create apps, and do my testing there.
So, Ted, does this mean that I can get away from that experience where every developer on my team had to have their own VM, and I was, you know, fighting to get resources where everybody had their own VM, their own Visual Studio, all on one box?
That's exactly right. In fact, here's my developer site right here. You can get away from all the painful things that I'm just about to go through, which is building your local farm.
Yeah,
so ultimately,
great.
You could build a single farm, and we're not talking about Office 365, we're talking about on-premise farms, but now not everybody needs to have a big machine that can run a virtual machine big enough to run a local SharePoint farm and all the other developer tools that you're gonna need.
Not gonna have teams of people working in the same place, right?
That's exactly right. So what is a developer type site? It's just a site collection. You can start adding lists, you can create document libraries, you can create child sites. But it has the hooks so Visual Studio can reach across the network and install an app in a very ad hoc way when you hit the F5 key. You know, so that's the big thing to note about that. And also it has the convenience up here where it shows you what apps have been installed right on the home page. Okay, so let's go ahead and move back over to our slides now. Now, if you don't just want to develop SharePoint apps, but let's say you want to develop apps for Office, which we're going to get into a lot of detail in the follow-up course. Well, we're going to need to have Office 2013, and definitely you're going to want the latest and greatest. You want to install Service Pack 1. You know, just like SharePoint app development, we're going to need Visual Studio with the most current updates. We want the Office developer tools with Visual Studio. And the one extra thing we need here is that there is a certain type of app for Office, mail apps, and they require that you have Exchange. So in addition to installing a local SharePoint farm, and you have to do this on a separate physical computer, so creating a virtual machine configuration that has multiple VMs that are in the same Active Directory domain, you want to install Exchange 2013. So mail apps do have a dependency on that version of Exchange. And if you take one more step, and either upgrade or just install Exchange 2013 Service Pack 1, then you can get the latest and greatest. And in particular, there is a new type of mail app, which is a Compose app, which only works with Service Pack 1. Now, for the on-premise setup, here's where you have to install SharePoint from the ground up. So typically, you're going to create a virtual machine. You could do it right on the hardware, but just the convenience of having a virtual machine, being able to copy the file, have backups, use one virtual machine across multiple developers, leads you to using a VM. You can use Hyper-V or, you know, other products that are like Hyper-V and what they do. But once we create the virtual machine, we need to install Windows Server. You know, I would encourage you to use the very latest version of Windows Server that has shipped, that has an RTM version. You could also use a version of Windows Server that matches your environment if your environment is not using the latest and greatest. But then also you're going to need to have Active Directory to get a good simulation of your production environment. And so one of the things that we're going to show you is that you could have a single VM setup. And one of the compromises that you make is that then the SharePoint farm gets put directly on an Active Domain controller. It's not real world, but in development, it's usually sufficient and it just eases the requirements of building your environment because you can use a single VM. We also need to have SQL Server, and whether we use SQL Server 2012 or 2012 R2 or one of the later versions of SQL Server. You know, you can make choices there. You want to install SharePoint Server with Service Pack 1. What's nice is now there are installation files that include Service Pack 1, so you don't have to install SharePoint 2013 and then apply Service Pack 1 on top of it. You want to install Visual Studio 2013. You want the latest and greatest updates. You want to install Office 2013 so that you have things like Word and Excel and PowerPoint and Outlook so that you can test your apps for Office if you're working with those. And the things that we're going to look at in particular in this module is configuring support in your farm for SharePoint apps, which is going to be important in production and also in development. We want to talk about configuring S2S authentication and configuring support for OAuth. So the last three bullet points where we're talking about configuring, well, that's the meat of this lecture. So now what we're going to do is take a quick look at what you have to do beforehand. Now, there are a couple different available resources as far as detailed documents that will step you through building out a SharePoint farm. So there's one up on TechNet, which we list there. There's a second one that my company, Critical Path Training, has basically posted in both the SharePoint 2010 and SharePoint 2013 timeframes. And it's about 100 pages of detail, you know, starting with take your Windows Server 2012 R2 disk, stick them in, install the operating system on the virtual machine. So basically, it's a ground-up installation. So what I'd like to do in my first demo is just to kind of walk through what you need to do to be able to get this up and going. Now, what I have here is just a document, which is the Critical Path Training SharePoint 2013 Virtual Machine Setup Guide. And what we do is we have about 100 pages here where we walk you through. So just to talk about things at a high level, you know, make sure that you have a piece of hardware, you know, whether it's a laptop or a desktop. You want to have 16 gigabytes of RAM. You want a fast processor. You need a certain amount of disk space. You know, so as you go down this checklist right here, you know, configure the Hyper-V adapters on your host computer so that you can do things like make a remote desktop connection from your host to the virtual machine, which most people find preferable over just using the Hyper-V console. And then along the way, we're going to install Windows Server 2012 R2. We're going to install Active Directory and basically promote the virtual machine to be a domain controller. Next, go through and install SQL Server R2. Now there's going to be files that you have to download for SharePoint Server. You can use a trial version that we point you to here. If you have a MSDN subscription, you can get your files there. Now there's also things that we have to do. SharePoint needs special Active Directory accounts to be used as the identity for certain worker processes that SharePoint is managing. So we kind of step through, give you a PowerShell script, how you can create a base set of accounts to use. We're going to run the SharePoint 2013 prerequisite wizard. We install SharePoint 2013, the base files, which gives you a base setup. But we haven't created the farm yet, you know, so what you don't want to do is take the easier path to setup, because it's not going to give you a good realistic environment. Now, also, if you want to have SharePoint 2013 fully functional, you want the new support for workflow working, which means installing a product called Workflow Manager and making sure that's configured correctly, and then going back to SharePoint 2013 and making sure that the current farm is able to see that. Now, we stepped through building a brand new SharePoint farm and creating a couple web applications to give you a testing environment, making sure your workflow layer is all installed, and then installing Visual Studio, installing Office. And all in all, it's a fairly long process. Certainly, it makes Scott's lecture on using Office 365 and just letting SharePoint Online do all the work for you up front, you can appreciate that. You know, but many of us are working and building software for on-premises farms. In those cases, you definitely want to have a good development environment, you know, based on SharePoint 2013.
Well, you know, it's true that the installation process for SharePoint 2013 is really more significant than the installation process was under 2010, right? So there are more steps. And I always tell the developers when I'm training them that it's good to partner with, you know, an IT pro at your organization that knows how to do this, because if you get SharePoint set up right the first time with the correct app domain installation and that type of stuff, then when it comes to developing the apps, everything just kind of works. But if that isn't set up correctly, then it can cause a lot of heartache. And I guess it's also, Ted, it's also worth pointing out, since you were teasing about the previous lecture, that you certainly can use cloud environments to do some development and testing, even if your target is on-premises, right? You could take that stuff and install it into that on-premises. But for sure, the installation now requires more attention than it did in the past.
It requires more attention, but there are many cases like installing and configuring the user profile service where SharePoint's gotten better. And in the places where SharePoint has rough edges, there's just such a wealth of information on the internet and SharePoint MVPs and other community resources where, you know, the problems are well known, well documented, and anyone who, you know, can Bing the problem they're having is going to be able to find the information they need and be successful at, you know, moving past the technical problems of getting the SharePoint farm up and running.
Yeah, I don't know how we did a lot of things before the internet was around. The documentation's so good now.
That's correct. Oh. Okay. Well, now, let's go to our next section here, where imagine we have a base installation of SharePoint 2013. It's up and running, but we haven't done anything to get support for apps up and running. Now, the first thing that we have to do to get apps up and running is to make sure that we have two different service applications in our local farm. Now, one is the app management service. The app management service is a brand new service application to SharePoint 2013. It has a database behind it, and every time an app is uploaded and published to an app catalog, and every time an app is installed, the app management service tracks that in the database behind it. Now, the app management service is fairly easy to create because you can either create it with the configuration wizard, the farm configuration wizard that SharePoint has, and up in central admin, if you don't do that, you can also create it through the central admin user interface. The one that is a little bit more challenging the first time you do it is to get the second required service application, known as the site subscription setting service, up and running. And the reason it's a little bit tricky is that you cannot do it through the user interface of central administration. You have to use PowerShell. So basically, the site subscription setting service tracks tenancies, and it's a central component in the architecture of Office 365, because every customer has one or more tenancies, and apps always get installed in the context of a tenancy. But in an on-premises farm, what we need is we need to have this service there, and even though most of us don't think about tenancies in SharePoint on-premises farms, you need one. You need this farm-wide tenancy to be able to work with apps. So just the process of creating an instance of the site subscription setting service creates a default farm-wide tenancy. Now, here's a script that we're going to walk through in just a second. We'll walk through it right now. So look what we're doing inside of the script. Well, first of all, we're going to add the snap-in for microsoft.sharepoint.powershell, so that from a PowerShell script, note that the script has to be run on the machine that is a server inside the farm. We can run it right in our VM. And what we're going to do is we're going to set the SP app domain. So you can see that second line in there, set SP app domain apps.wingtip.com. Okay, now the second thing we're going to do inside here, and the majority of the script goes towards building this service, which is the site setting subscription service. And if we look at the script right here, when you create this, not only do you have to create the service itself, but you have to create the proxy. Now, the labs that we give you for the course are going to have this script inside of it. And you can basically just change the things that are necessary as far as the apps.wingtip.com or the name that you want the service to be. And then finally, at the very bottom, you can see the very last call here is to a SharePoint commandlet, set SP at site subscription name, and that gives a name to the default farm-wide tenant. Now, let's say that we've run this script. So all of a sudden, we now have support for running apps inside of our on-premises farm. Another thing to note is that for environments where you have multiple farms, you're going to have a different domain for each one of those. So note that in your organization, if you had a pair of farms, well, you configure one farm to have one domain and a second farm to have a separate domain. Also, what you're going to see is that DNS entries are going to have to be recognized. And what that means is you're going to have to use wildcard DNS so that when SharePoint just makes up a name for the domain for the app web for an app that's been installed, that the DNS settings are already configured properly. And if you're going to want to run these with HTTPS and not just this HTTP, you also have to have the SSL configured to be able to provide SSL for these domains that are created on the fly as apps are being installed.
Now, Ted, what happens if somebody has an existing SharePoint 2013 farm, but maybe when they installed it, they didn't understand that they had to create the app domain and the tenancy? Can they back into that from where they are?
Absolutely. So this is something where you can configure these on the fly. So it's not when you create this or run the script that these are set in stone. You're actually able to change these through central administration, as we'll see in just a second when I do the demo.
Okay, great.
Okay, now the other thing that we're going to look at here is, well, we need to have some type of a way, not just when we're developing, because typically we can just hit F5 to test things, but when it's time to push things out or when you want to test the true style of deployment, we need to create a app catalog. Now, the app catalog, in the upcoming demo, I'm going to create one of those. And what we're going to see is that when we create one, it is specific to a web application. So if you have a farm that has multiple web applications, you're going to have to create a separate app catalog for each one. And unfortunately, that means there's no way to publish an app that's seen across web applications. However, using PowerShell scripting, you could automate the deployment to instantly deploy it to the app catalog for multiple web applications as a single batch job. Okay, now, when I do the demo and create the app catalog site collection, what we're gonna see here is that there's a place in central admin that I'm gonna go, I'm gonna create this, and then once I have created the app catalog, it's gonna be exactly like the demo Scott showed previously when you use an app catalog within a Office 365 environment. Now, when we create the app catalog, we have to give it a URL. So we'll give it some particular URL, site/app catalog. There's also a primary site collection administrator that we're going to configure. And that is the person who has all power across the site collection who actually then becomes the app administrator. That's the person who has the power to decide what apps to publish, which apps are installable, which apps can be seen by others. Also note that when I do this, there's going to be an opportunity for me to also configure what end users can see the app catalog. And you shouldn't think of those as end users. Think of those really as site administrators who might want to install an app in their particular site. And in some cases, you might want to give lots of people who are site administrators the ability to see the app catalog. Or in other cases, if I'm doing a tenancy-based installation, I might not want to expose them to anyone and just have the person who is the administrator of the app catalog do tenancy-based installations and have total control over what apps get installed and which sites they're available in. Okay. And then after we've done that, Just like the last lecture with Scott, we have an app catalog site. We'll upload the app package and we'll start using it.
So what I find interesting about that is it seems like I can develop apps that work on premises and in the Office 365 environment. They're getting deployed the same way. I have the same kind of package that gets created, right?
That's exactly right. And you know, we can't say that every app that you create, you know, is going to be flexible enough to be deployed in either case. Mm-hmm. You know, especially if you're going to use S2S authentication, if you're going to start doing low-level programming with S2S, you might be doing things that are hard-coding you to only work with S2S, which means on-premises farms.
Right.
You know, but certainly there's a lot of techniques that you could use so that you know your app can be deployed and used without change in both places.
All right, it's great.
Okay, so let's go ahead and jump into this next demo, which is creating the app catalog site collection. So I'm going to start by, let's go back to the central administration. And inside central administration, if I go to application management right here, and we go to manage service applications, if you want to figure out whether things are allowed inside this farm as far as apps go, you know, you just have to make sure that you can see the app management service. You know, and once again, if I drop down, you can see that you can create the app management service instance right from central administration. But you're also going to want to make sure that you have an instance of the site subscription settings service inside there, and it's started and running. Okay, now let's go ahead and do a simple test here. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to start up Visual Studio. And as I start up Visual Studio, if I just want to test and see if there is support for apps, I'll create a new project right here. I'll create a app for SharePoint. We'll go ahead and call this the Hello app. And since we're just worrying about verifying here, we can go ahead and point to a particular site. Maybe I'll say site/dev site. That's the dev site that we created earlier. Do I want to create a provider hosted or SharePoint hosted? I'm going to create a SharePoint hosted app in this case right here. We'll go ahead, we'll choose finish. Now, a SharePoint hosted app project has been created. Unlike a provider hosted app project, which has two Visual Studio projects, the part that runs outside and the part that runs inside of SharePoint, you'll notice that SharePoint hosted apps just have a single project inside here. We can take a look at the app manifest. I'm not going to make many changes inside here. If I look under scripts, there is an app.js file that Visual Studio has given some very simple Hello World code to make a CSOM call into SharePoint to figure out the display name of the current user so we can print it on the page. So let's go ahead and just run this right here. I'll go ahead and hit the F5 key. And as I hit the F5 key, Visual Studio is now going to reach out to that developer site. It has already packaged up the app as a .app file. And what we should see is there's my app right there. I can see it's initializing. It's making that CSOM call inside here. We'll give it another second, then it says hello administrator. You know, so I didn't really do anything but create a new SharePoint hosted app project and hit the F5 key, but I can use this to verify that this farm now supports SharePoint hosted apps. Okay, so now the next step is to, let's go to central administration, and I'm gonna go down to where it says manage app catalog. Because what I wanna do is now show you the actual true way that we deploy in production. So I'm going to say, under Manage App Catalog, I see that from this page, an app catalog has not been created for this web application right here. And so if I just take the default of Create New App Catalog Site, we'll choose OK. Well, we'll go ahead, we'll create the app catalog. This is what you called corporate catalog.
Right.
You know, so note that app catalog and corporate catalog is just two different terms for the same thing.
You can call it anything you want. My app store, whatever it is that you want.
Okay. And now down here, as you saw on the slides, we're going to go ahead and configure the account that I'm running as right here as the primary site collection administrator. And as far as end users, you know, that would be people other than me that I wanted to be able to give Reed access so they could see the apps and install them on the fly. And those users, remember, would have to be administrators of the site or site collection where they wanted to install the app. Now, let's go ahead, click OK. And so now it's working through the process of creating. You can see the little URL pair says create corporate catalog. So maybe you're right because you're just using whatever you saw in the URL. And it's going to take about as long as it takes to create any other site collection inside here. And so once this is all done, it shows me where the app catalog site is. And so just like Scott showed in the previous lecture, when he created the app catalog up in his Office 365 tenancy, I've just created one now inside of my on-premises farm. And so I'm going to go to the document library, which is apps for SharePoint. Now let's go ahead and move back to Visual Studio. Back in Visual Studio, every time you hit F5, it installs the app. Every time you stop the debugging session, it uninstalls the app. But now let's go through installing the app the correct way. So I'm going to right click and I'm going to choose publish. And what I'd like to do is package this app inside here. So now that I've packaged the app, I've built it into a distributable file, helloapp.app. I'm going to go ahead and grab this URL. Let's now go back over to our, I don't see that there, so I'll just go ahead and type in the URL here for sites/app catalog. Now, once I get to the app catalog site, we go to apps for SharePoint, and we basically just want to upload the .app file. So if I click on new document, it's going to bring me to a dialog where I can put in the path. There is my app. Let's go ahead and upload this here. Now, as it uploads, like many document libraries in SharePoint, there's metadata associated with it. So we see the app name. We can put things like a short description inside here. We can put a longer description. As we do the installation, you're going to see where those things are set up. I'm not going to fill out every single input box here, but as we publish apps in a production environment, quite often SharePoint wants to look back to the vendor's site to get more information about the app. You know, what is going to be the publisher name? I'll just put Ted inside here. I'm going to leave other things blank, but notice that in addition to this being enabled or disabled, there's also something which is known as featured. Once you publish an app, you can make it a featured app. Okay, so now we have this app. We've pushed it inside there. Now, one more time, let's go back here, and I can go to my dev site right here. And as I go to this dev site, I should be able to see if I go to site contents that's the app that was installed before using Visual Studio. If it's still there and I want to test installation, I can say remove. And now it's going to take a second. And so now we're kind of back to our starting position. We have a site. It doesn't have my app. Now, if I say add an app in here, what we're able to see is all the different apps in addition to things like list types, document library types. And because I made my app featured, it shows up as a very first app. And now we can go through this process right here of testing the app installation. And here's kind of the true installation experience, you know, far more realistic than what you're going to get in Visual Studio when you hit the F5 key. Do I trust the app? Yes, I do trust the app. And now Visual Studio is going through the process of installing the app, you know, which includes creating a new app web. And now we'll go ahead and test the app. App works just fine after I've installed it through the app catalog. We'll go back to our dev site. And if I want to get rid of it after my testing, I can just come and remove the app inside there. Okay, so just kind of finishing up, what do we do in the demo? We created an app catalog so that we can truly test, you know, how apps are deployed, how they're published and installed in a production environment. Okay, so our next section, we're going to look at configuring S2S or server-to-server authentication. Now, what is server-to-server authentication? Well, it's how we get an app to authenticate, not the type of app that I just created. A SharePoint-hosted app lives inside of SharePoint, and all it can have is client-side code, which is basically already authenticated when it calls in, and SharePoint can figure out which app it is. However, once we have a provider-hosted app and we have a remote web, we have code that has to call across the network into SharePoint, and it's going to need to have an authorization token inside. So the big thing about server to server is you don't need any dependencies on anything outside your local environment, especially Azure Active Directory. So we just basically want to have something where within our private network, we can get the app to authenticate. Now, the way it's going to work out is that you need to have a SSL certificate, not to set up SSL, but because we want the public-private key pair. Now, the short story is that we take the public-private key pair and the app holds on to the private key. And the idea is that if someone has a private key, they can sign something. In this case, it's going to be a security token. And anyone in possession of the public key can verify that it had to be signed by someone with the private key. Then we're going to take the public key and give it to SharePoint. So SharePoint knows that that public-private key pair is associated with a S2S trust. Now, there's a lot of moving parts right here. So step one is that not the app administrator, but the SharePoint farm administrator has to participate because he or she is going to have to take the certificate and register it with the SharePoint farm. Okay. Now, also, the app administrator is going to have the private key, and we're going to have access to that private key file inside of our app. And the way that the handshake works is that when the provider-hosted app wants to call into SharePoint, it's going to create a security token, what we call an access token, and it's going to use the private key to be able to sign it. It then makes a call into SharePoint, and SharePoint will then look up the registered S2S trusts and see if there's a public key associated with that private key and use it to verify the authenticity. Okay, now here are the steps that I'm going to go through in the upcoming demo. First of all, we're going to have to create a SSL or what's called an X509 certificate. And in production, you would want to go to a real certificate authority and get a production grade SSL certificate. When you're just doing development work, what I'm going to show you is how to write a PowerShell script that can just create a self-signed test certificate so that you can get things working inside there. You're going to make the certificate accessible to SharePoint and use PowerShell to create a component known as a trusted security token issuer that's going to be able to confirm that an access token was signed with the right key inside there. Okay. When we develop provider-hosted apps, we're going to be able to have access to the key, which is going to allow us to sign our access tokens, which in turn will allow us to make authenticated calls using either the client-side object model, CSOM, or the REST API. Now, there are two ways to make the certificate available to SharePoint. I'm going to use the easier way, which is simply to have the public key file physically available and make it so that SharePoint can see that particular file. If you were creating a more polished application, it's also possible to expose an endpoint where SharePoint can call to a web service and discover the public key associated with the server-to-server trust in that fashion.
Now, Ted, the configuring of all of these pieces can feel a little bit overwhelming to someone if they haven't done it before, but it's important to understand that you just do it once, right? And then after it's done once, your experience in Visual Studio is really that it kind of just works from that point on.
That's exactly right. And what you're going to see is Visual Studio also remembers where the certificate is, and all it makes you put in each time is the password, and we'll see why we need a password in just a second. Okay, now I wanted to put the scripts on the slide so you can see them. I'm not going to spend time walking through here because I'm going to walk through the script inside of my demo, but we need one script to create a self-signed certificate. And then we're going to need to have a second script that calls into SharePoint and creates what we call the Trusted Security Token Issuer. Okay. Now, also, in addition to setting up the Trusted Security Token Issuer, every single app is going to need to have an app principal. In our previous module, Scott went through and showed you how to create an app security principal in Office 365. You would create it the exact same way inside of a on-premises farm with that exact same page. What I'm going to demonstrate is just the convenience of Visual Studio for doing all the work behind the scenes.
Big difference there, though, is the client secret, right? Which is not required for the S2S because
that's right. You caught me there.
So
trying to gloss over that detail. Thank you for keeping me honest. In our case right here, we'll need a client ID, but there is no client secret. And in particular, the private key kind of serves the same purpose,
right,
you know, as
the
being
point.
The credentials inside
yeah.
there.
Yeah,
okay,
exactly.
Very good. Now, I'm not going to create the app security principal inside my demo because I'm just going to use the Visual Studio technique for doing that on the fly. But what we're going to see is that when we create a new app for SharePoint, that it's going to automatically add the things inside there. And ultimately, what you're going to have during development is that your app will have a client ID that is a star. And what that tells Visual Studio is that Ted is too lazy to create his own app security principal. So, Mr. Visual Studio, will you please just create the app security principal on the fly every time I hit the F5 key? Now, note that this is something where you do need to have a local SharePoint farm. You would not be able to do this across the network. Okay, but what's important to see is by the time you actually are ready to distribute the app, you're going to have the full URL inside there and the true client ID. Okay, so with that, let's go ahead and jump into a demo on this. Now, let's go back here. And what I want to do is I want to take a look at two different scripts that we have here. So if I go back to what I have inside here, I have one script which is going to create the test certificates for us. So I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to open up this script right here. And so what we have here is a utility called makecert.exe. And I'm going to call this wingtip app certificate 01. Doesn't really matter what I call it inside here. Let's go ahead and run this right here. I run this. And what I should be able to verify when I run the script, and once again, you're going to have step-by-step how to do this in the lab write-up. We've created this CR file right here, which is the public certificate file. Now, when we created this, we also used a switch when we called make cert so that we added the private key inside there as well. And then, using this other tool called cert manager, you're able to install the certificate into IIS on the local machine. Not that we needed an IIS for any other purpose then, there is an export facility where you can export it and create a private key file, which is a PFX file. And remember, that has the private key. If the bad guy gets the private key, it's over. He can basically circumvent your security. So the idea of a PFX file is when we create it, we also password protect it. So you need the PFX file and you need the password inside there. Now, once we've created the certificate, this is the one that SharePoint needs. This is the one that your provider-hosted app will need. Now, we're going to run a second script inside here. And the second script that we're going to run is the one that is going to talk to SharePoint and create the Trusted Security Token Issuer. So here, you have to come up with a unique GUID. I have the all ones GUID. You know how long it took me to run GuidGen to get the all one GUID? Okay.
Hope secondly, nobody else is using it.
Ultimately, what we want to be able to do is call this one particular commandlet, which is new SP Trusted Security Token Issuer. So you have to pass the GUID that's all ones. You have to pass something called a register issuer name. Now, there's code up here that gets something called the realm, which is the same thing as a SharePoint tenancy. And so the idea is we then take the GWID that is specific to my to my certificate and also the one for the tenancy, which is for your local farm, put those together. Now, let's go ahead and just run this right here. Now, once I've run this, what you see is it creates a component inside of SharePoint. Now, if I want to test to see if this is working, let's go back to Visual Studio. And inside of Visual Studio right here, we'll go ahead and we will create a new project, another app for SharePoint. And this is going to be Hello S2S. So in this case right here, we'll go ahead, we'll create a new app. I can use the same test site, that's great. But here, I want to create a provider-hosted app, which is the only way you're going to be able to verify that S2S is working correctly. Next, what type? I think I told you last time that you have to create MVC forms, but now I just wanted to show the easier one, so I'm going to go ahead and use this one right here.
Right.
Doesn't really matter for this demo.
Either one.
But this is the important page in the new apps for SharePoint wizard. Here, when I say user certificate, I'm saying set this up for S2S. So now, what we're going to do is we're going to take that private key file, we're going to tell SharePoint, or we tell Visual Studio, that's where the file lives, what is the password inside there, and then also what is the issuer ID. So because we need the issuer ID, let's go ahead and grab this one time here.
You're not going to type all those for us?
I'm not going to type all those for you, no. And this is sticky. Next time you come back to Visual Studio, it will remember everything here except for the password. Now, we'll go ahead and choose Finish. And as we choose Finish right there, it creates this project. And true to the spirit of Visual Studio, it creates a project with enough starter code that you can test things out. If I look behind this page right here, what it does is it provides some Hello World code, which is going to make a call into SharePoint, and it's not going to work if security is not properly set up. I can also go and look at the web.config file, and here we have the web.config file. You can see that it has added the issuer ID, and it has added the path to where that PFX file lives, and we have the password inside here. It has everything except for the client ID.
Now, and again, no client secret required for this one.
No client secret is required for S2S. That only is important in OAuth. I come back over here. We go ahead. We view the code inside here. And so it's this little asterisk right here that tells Visual Studio, when I hit the F5 key, automatically create a new client ID and register that with SharePoint with the correct domain of where the remote web is hosted in some type of URL, which is inside of localhost. But what we should be able to verify that we get this thing to run, and after it gets installed and we see Hello World, which hopefully will just take another second or two inside here, we should be able to see that coming through. Actually.
So I notice in this project, right, you have in your solution, you have the two projects, right? So you've got that separate SharePoint project and that separate web project, just like we were seeing before.
That is correct. Seems to be taking, item does not support previewing. Let's see, seems to be taking a while
it
here.
Looks like it's doing the installation process there.
Doing the installation process. Expect it to go a little bit faster than that, but hopefully it's not a runaway here. Note that as it's doing this, it kind of doesn't really give me much of a cancel capability.
Yeah.
It seems like it's taking a while here.
Should we let it keep going and maybe we could look at some other slides and check on it?
Well, let's try to do this. I think there's, I just go ahead and stop. Now it's telling me it made changes to web.config, which it's supposed to.
Right.
But let me go ahead and start it one more time. See if it goes a little bit faster.
Oh, something's up there.
Okay, so now it goes up here. Do you trust the app? We go ahead and we do trust the app. We want it to basically come through. And something went wrong. Go back. Okay, so let's now go back. I'm not sure why I forged ahead before there. But what you're going to see is that, you know, at first this thing was empty. And as part of the deployment process, let's go ahead one more time. Hit the F5 key. Deployment errors step. And here's a case where quite often shutting down Visual Studio and starting Visual Studio back up again could be the important remedy for our problems. Let's go back to our hello to the S2S app.
So this is basically the consultant's first advice, reboot.
Reboot Visual Studio before you start ripping apart your code inside there. Okay, once this settles right here, let's put that back up to a regular size. Let's go ahead, hit the F5 key. Let's see if we can now get it to do all the things that we want it to do. Deployment error is continuing, cannot be uninstalled. One other thing that, you know, might help you as you're doing your testing, is there residue from the app that is still inside there? And I see that that is, we're removing the app right now. Sometimes this can hang in place right here.
Yeah, I've seen that, especially if Visual Studio shuts down in sort of an odd way like we're experiencing, that might happen. Now, sometimes what I've done in that case is you can just sort of manually change the ID of the app.
Cheat
a little bit, you know, just change a letter or a number on it. I've done that before.
That's true. Or you could change the test site inside here.
Yep, anything that would make it appear different. You know, occasionally, rarely, I have had some wreckage left behind from an experience like this that sort of sits there for a while, but usually you can get it to go.
Okay, so now I'm seeing what I like here. It says web.config was updated.
Yeah, it looks
better. So once again, it's creating an app security principle on the fly. It's telling me that it's just updated the web.config file. And now as we install this inside here.
And
now what we want, the moment of truth, seems like it's working. One thing that, you know, is I'm gonna bring up Fiddler right here. Let's go ahead and refresh that page one more time. You know, what we should be able to verify, you know, here inside of Fiddler is if I look at that one particular call and we come up here, you know, there is the authorization token and it has bearer space and then it has the access token inside there.
You know,
so just more verification that things are working correctly. Okay, now let's go ahead and move back to our last section here. Okay, the last part we're going to look at is configuring OAuth2 for on-premises. Now, one of the things that's a little bit tricky to get working is the S2S. And what you'll find is that in some cases, S2S and OAuth you know, are the same when you're writing apps. But definitely OAuth has greater capabilities. And one thing that's really big about OAuth compared to S2S Trust is that SharePoint passes you the user identity in the form of a context token. Which that means that when you're using OAuth, your remote web is typically deployed with remote with anonymous access, where inside of S2S, you have to use Windows authentication or some other type of authentication to authenticate who the user is and put that identity into the access token. Now, it turns out it's not that difficult to configure an on-premises farm to use OAuth. We have to have Azure Active Directory, which is going to be the security token service, as it were, which is going to create access tokens as opposed to the remote web of the app creating it. Now, Scott's talked about the Azure Active Directory infrastructure in the previous module, so I'll be brief, but these are the players that are involved there, the Azure Active Directory infrastructure, the Azure Access Control Services. Now, in this case, you don't have to use an Azure website. You know, what we're going to be doing is deploying locally, probably just in some ASP.NET site that we've created on a local server running inside of IIS. Now, what's nice is that Azure is going to be able to create the access tokens and pass them back to us. Now, I want to jump into our last demo right here. Now, once again, we step through inside of the lab files, you know, all the different steps. So one of the steps is going to be to build a big, long PowerShell script right here. Now, we've given you this approach where you're going to take this particular script that we're provided for you, and it's got all the hard code already written inside here. What this is going to do is create a trust between a server in your farm and Windows Azure ACS. Now, once I have this script and I want to actually run the script, what we're going to do is we're going to simply take this function that's inside of the script and call it using something like, that's not it right there, excuse me. Now, here's just an example of calling this. Once again, this is a function that we've written here that you're going to use inside the lab. You don't want to have spaces when you call it, but just to make things a little bit easier, you need to pass what is the Azure Active Directory domain. So the one for mine is sharepointconfessions.onmicrosoft.com. What is the SharePoint Online URL? So you need to have a Office 365 tenancy to make that work. And then you also point to a local web application, which is Wingtip Server in there. And then also, one of the things that you can do for on-premise farms that you can't really do for Office 365 is to turn off the requirement for using HTTPS and just use HTTP. You know, so it might be easier for development. Maybe your production environment, you're not using HTTPS for your SharePoint sites. You know, so that is something that you can do. Now, I've already run this script right here, but once again, here I am with an on-premises farm, and so the last thing I want to do to verify that this is working correctly, let's go back to Visual Studio. Let's create one more project here, and this one is going to be the Hello OAuth project. And what we're going to see here is that as we're stepping through, create a provider hosted, just like last time. We'll use a local SharePoint site for testing. We can create it using web forms or MVC. It really doesn't matter. And this time, we don't use S2S, but we're simply going to use this up here. So if all you want to do is verify whether the configuration on your farm allows you to use OAuth for app authentication, I'm just going to click on Finish right here. And I can just hit the F5 key. I'm not going to need to make the app any better, but there's Hello World code inside here. I'm going to go up in just a second. Let's go ahead and start it up. But if you want to see how things are working as the handshake goes on, once again, I didn't need to put anything inside there because it automatically registered the app security principle. As I click, we go ahead, we click on Trust It right here. And all we really want to be able to see is that Hello World message up there. Once again, let's go back to Fiddler and let's go ahead and delete everything inside there and go ahead and do one more refresh inside here. And you know what we can see is that there, right there, we can verify that we do indeed have an access token. But unlike the previous demo, this one was built by Windows Azure ACS, you know, not by the remote host using that private key inside there. The client secret is important here, but once again, Visual Studio was our friend and just kind of created that on the fly for me as I hit the F5 key. Okay, so let's go ahead and wrap up. So what we looked at here was basically how to build an on-premise setup. And it starts with the process of installing the operating system and all the software required so you can install SharePoint 2013 with Service Pack 1. We then talked about configuring support for apps and working with the app catalog. Then we worked through what is a S2S trust and how to make the connections, how to configure it, and how to create your app. And we finished with a simple example of how you can prefer to use OAuth instead of S2S. So that takes us to the end of our program. Thank you for attending. Don't forget to fill out the poll so that we can get some feedback from you. And thanks very much for attending.